Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Colleen Hubbard, and she is out with a new novel. It is called Housebreaking. The book is available everywhere. And Colleen, this is one of these fortunate things that came from the COVID lockdown, is that we get some fantastic literature out of it, and this is no exception. And you know, so many of us thought about family here, and you thought about family and wrote about it, but in a different way. Can you kind of set this novel up for us?
Sure. The book is about a young woman who is 24 years old. She lives in a city, and she has really distanced herself from her family in her hometown. But then she has to return to deal with this house that she inherited from her parents who passed away several years earlier. So it's a novel about going back home and being forced to face the things that she was trying to avoid, like a bad relationship with her mother's family.
It's set in a small town, and did you go back and forth as to the setting for that? How much effort went into trying to find the right location to set this novel?
Well, that's an interesting question. So I grew up in New England, but I grew up in southern New England, and one of the key points of the book is that something happens on a frozen pond. And actually, looking at the climate, I determined that the place where I grew up was too far south for this to happen. I needed an area where there could be a frozen pond that would stay frozen throughout winter. And so I had to set it further north than I grew up, but in New England, and in a small town that is much smaller than where I grew up, but it's a sort of town where everybody sort of knew each other, and there used to be industry, but the industry is gone. So a lot of the young people have left town. It's mostly older people and families that have lived there forever. And she, the woman going back to her hometown, is seeing all of these familiar faces because nobody really ever moves away.
It seems like small town, the smaller the town, the bigger the secrets that are kept. And of course, death leaves few secrets, it seems. And that's kind of what you have here. But as you develop the town and develop the characters, who came first to you? Was it Dell, the main character?
It was really the relationship between Dell and the person who's her best friend, who is a gay man who is friends with her father who passed away, and he is about 20 years older than she is. So that was sort of a really key relationship, and a lot of things spun out from there. But I grew up in a small city more than a small town, but there were a lot of relationships with people growing up. My grandparents had owned what was a general store on their parents, so my great-grandparents' old farm. So I meet a lot of World War II veterans when I was growing up, and the sorts of people who had lots of stories to tell, were retired, had really interesting stories about their lives that they were constantly talking about. And I think that sense of people who have lived in the same town forever, who are really open and familiar with each other, but also can sort of call each other out on things because they've known each other their entire lives, is something that really appealed to me to write about.
I see books written in small towns that are set all over the country. I mean, some in the Midwest, some out west, some obviously in New England like this one. Is there something distinctive about small towns in New England that set them apart from small towns anywhere else in the country?
I think people are brutal and blunt in New England, probably, in a way that maybe is different. I know that I lived in California for a while as an adult, and I think that people sort of avoid telling each other the truth as a way of politeness. And I think a lot of people that I grew up with in New England were just a lot, I don't know if it's something to do with the climate, with it being very cold, but there was this sort of flinty hardness. I think people could be very genuine and warm, but also when they didn't want to be, they could be very frank and very blunt in a way that was different than living in California where I lived later in life.
I know this book you put together, and you're on leave from work. I believe it was maternity leave, but did you have this book nagging at you for a long time before you started putting the fingers to the keyboard?
Yeah, so I worked in a hospital, and I worked full-time. I did want to write a book for a long time, but it was very difficult to find the time to do that, and I think that that's probably the case for a lot of writers who are in a position where they have children, they have to pay mortgages, or they have to pay rent. It's very difficult to work full-time and write a book. So I was very lucky in that, living in the UK now, I have maternity leave, and so I was able to take time off to take care of my baby. And when she was very little and she would nap all the time, I was able to find pockets of time to write.
And then how alive in your mind did the characters come to you? Is it a matter of, you know, they seem like real people to you, as they do to us as we go through the 300 or so pages of the book. Is it to that point where you think you just know them even though they don't exist, only in your own mind?
I knew their senses of humor, definitely. I think that's the way that I come to characters, really through dialogue and their senses of humor. I think probably I'm a writer who hinges a lot on humor and on mood more than necessarily than descriptions of how people look or what they're wearing. There's a wonderful writer, Joan Didion, who died fairly recently, who I really like, and she was beautiful at describing decor or what people wore, and I just don't have that skill or talent, I don't think. It's just not how I look at things, but for me, it's all about the dialogue and the sense of humor that really brings characters to life for me, and there were things that the character said that I could really hear a person saying, and it helped me come closer to them as a getting to know them as a character.
And you hit on something. The dialogue, to me, sounded very real in the book, very authentic and genuine. Was this a matter of reading it out loud to make sure it sounds like people would actually talk?
You know, I never read my books out loud, and it's funny. I have another writer that recommended it to me one time and said you could find the phrases or things that sound a bit funny if you read it out loud, but maybe it's just the lack of time. I had a newborn when I was writing, and so I just kind of sat down and wrote. When I was writing, I often would only have 2 or 3 hours in a day to write, and I really wanted to get the book, the draft, done before I had to go back to work. So I really did, I have to say, nothing extra. I did nothing on top of purely sitting down to write the book and writing it. It's a real compliment for you to say that the dialogue sounds realistic. I was hoping that it did, but I certainly didn't guarantee it through reading the book out loud.
I'm chatting with Colleen Hubbard about her novel, Housebreaking. It is available everywhere. And Colleen, one of the things that I also find interesting is I think people who don't write probably don't understand all that goes into it. There's the writing of the initial novel and then the editing process, which is probably just every bit as grueling as the initial writing process. And so how did the editing process go for you in this when you'd get feedback from an editor?
So I was insanely lucky in that I have just a wonderful editor. Her name is Jen Monroe. She works for an imprint of Penguin called Berkeley. And I think my tendency as a writer is probably to underdescribe. I really like subtlety. I really like thinking that I'm not hitting a reader over the head with information. There is an old maxim that you should trust the reader, assume that the reader is intelligent, and never, ever overdescribe. And I think I go for that sometimes too much. And for me, the benefit of having an editor was having a person who was reading it who could say at times, actually, you need a little bit more here. And so the benefit for me of having an editor was her going through and pointing out the places in the book where I needed a little bit more description. I needed to add a little bit more depth. I needed maybe an additional scene was needed. And that was very lucky because I think that it added quite a bit to the book.
Do you have a hard time reading your own work, going back through it, you know, countless times as you've read it and then maybe find things that your editor didn't even find that you feel like you want to change?
I wouldn't say that I found that. I would say the one surprisingly excellent part of the editing process is copy editing. So when both you and your editor are happy with the book, it gets sent to the copy editor. The copy editor goes through and takes a really fine-grained approach to looking at the text and will point out things that everybody else who read the text missed. And so I actually got my copy edits right after I had had my second child. So I had a newborn. I got sent the copy edits, and the copy edits were along the lines of, you know, on page 67, it says this, but that disagrees with the timeline that you set out on page 21. Please clarify. And so I had probably a 3-week-old baby, and I was trying to figure out in this fictional universe how to make this thing match up with what it said earlier. And that was actually much, much harder to me than going just through the standard editing process and being asked to add a little bit more information here and there.
The title, I love the title, Housebreaking. It just fits so well with what this book ended up becoming. And when you sit down to write, I'm sure you don't have the title in your mind, or you have several maybe, but how does that work when you're writing? And, you know, these things are just coming together. You may not have all the character names that you want or the title. So how do you get that in your mind to keep yourself on the straight road when you don't really have the end description in mind?
So for this book, I actually didn't come up with a title until the draft was complete. I can't remember what it was even called in draft form because it was so long ago. I sold the book in 2020, so it's been a little while in coming out. But I was workshopping the book with two writers, and after I finished it, I just sent them a list of titles and said, here are the titles I'm considering. They didn't like any of them. I actually didn't like any of them. I didn't think any of them were very good. And so late in the day, I sent a follow-up email saying, hey, I've come up with this other title. What do you think of it? Housebreaking. And they said that they loved it. So from there on out, the title never changed. I would say that the benefit also of being modern day internet is that a lot of titles, a lot of books are sold on social media, and I have the benefit of the hashtag for the book, Housebreaking, mostly showing pictures of very cute puppies. And so every time I go to look for any information about my book, maybe do a vanity search on the internet to see if people like the book or not, what I actually get are thousands and thousands of photos of little puppies.
Do you hold your breath right, reading reviews or reading reader feedback that you hope it's all good, or do you take it personally, or do you train yourself to not take it personally?
I think it can be hard to not take it personally. I think a lot of writers block Goodreads. I do occasionally. It can feel more personal than it is, and I have to accept the fact that I read lots and lots of books. I love to read. I was a reader long before I was a writer, and I don't like every book that I read, and that doesn't mean that the book isn't good. It just isn't for me, and so I try to have that same understanding and flexibility when I'm seeing a review from somebody who didn't like my book, that I don't like everything, and it's unfair to expect that everybody likes my book.
Now, you say you read books you don't like, and I have that same experience, too, and I usually have a 60-page rule that if the thing doesn't interest me or I don't care about any of the characters after 60 pages, I'm going to abandon it. And do you have that rule, or will you finish a book you don't like?
At this point in life, I have two children under the age of three. I will say, Brian, that I will not finish a book that I don't like. I've gotten too lazy, or maybe I'm too realistic about the time that I have available, that if I'm not enjoying it, I'm not going to read it.
And you mentioned workshopping, and I think that's we live in Iowa here where we have the Iowa Writers Workshop, and so I've talked to a lot of workshop writers, so I know the process, but can you explain the process of workshopping a book? Because I think it's an absolutely brilliant way to write a book, and I think it makes them so much better.
So workshopping essentially is that you have a little conference of people around you who are reading as you're writing. So workshop can be a formal master's degree workshop like Iowa, which you're talking about, where you might have 9 people in a workshop throughout a semester, everybody submitting things. So it could be chapters of a novel, or it could be a full short story. And then every week, the people around the table are reading what you've provided and giving their comments on it. And in that group, of course, there are going to be some people who really get on with your style of writing, who really see what you're doing. But also there are going to be some people who don't get on as well, maybe some people who are skeptical, and some people who you just don't like personally, who you don't get on with. So it's a pretty good combination of readers that you get, and they basically tell you line by line what they think about what you're writing. And so you are able to get this sort of live feedback that can help you make decisions about characters, about the story, about the plot, that can be really helpful.
Well, the novel is called Housebreaking. It's just a fantastically entertaining novel. I loved it. The Colleen Hubbard is the author. And Colleen, just a fantastic book here. I appreciate you joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so much, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Hey,